people have confused pietism with piety and dumped piety along with dumping pietism. It's resulted in a real confusion about this.
Pastor Will Wheaton, on his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for godliness.
Any thought about dealing with how we actually live our lives is regarded as being, that's law. That's what we've been freed from. We don't have to think about that. Well, no. The whole point is, what does it look like to live with Jesus Christ having been crucified and raised from the dead?
You can meet and hear Pastor Wheaton Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.
Is being gay a perversion?
Senator, I'm going to give you the same answer I just gave you previously. My respect for every individual, regardless of their sexual orientation, is the same.
You name me any person who is against us today, I want to say that person is not our permanent enemy. That's a precious human being made in the image and likeness of God, someone who's got a conscience that we can appeal to somewhere in there, and our job should be to win him or her over.
You might have a terrible pharmacist, but the antibiotics are still going to cure the infection. And the same thing with church. The sacraments and the word and all the blessings that we receive from Christ through his church, those are too precious. Those are too valuable to give up, even though you've been wrong.
This is Bill, the bug guy, and I love listening to Issues Etc. every day while I spray bugs.
Why in the world would God command Abraham to do such a thing? We're told there in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, after all these years have passed, the promises have been made and kept. Sarah has conceived. The Lord has visited her, and she has brought forth that son that God had promised to Abraham. Isaac is son of the promise. This is a child that is born through a miraculous birth from a father and a mother who were well beyond the age of childbearing, and neither of them had ever been able to conceive children together. And here is Isaac, the only one, and the son of the promise. We've been told it would be through Isaac that the promise would be kept. So why would God then command Abraham to take that son to a mountain and sacrifice him there to God? It just doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 17th of April. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on Abraham and Isaac there in the 21st and 22nd chapters of Genesis, the sacrifice or the near sacrifice of Isaac, and answering that question, hopefully. A little bit later, Joy Pullman of The Federalist will join us to talk about the anti-conservative bias in U.S. history textbooks. You can join us as well with your questions and your comments. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or leave your question or comment on the listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Abraham and Isaac, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good day.
Why would God command Abraham to do this, to go and sacrifice the son that Abraham had trusted God for all those years and that God had miraculously given to him and Sarah?
I would have given a different answer to that had you asked me that yesterday, but then taking a look at the growing in Christ, they make an important distinction, and that's, of course, the CPH material that helps us understand these various lessons, that God was not testing the works of Abraham, but rather he was testing the faith of Abraham. And the more I got to think about that, the more it made more sense that God doesn't test our works, because we often fail in our works, but we still can have faith, which is trust in his promises, so that when Abraham heard, okay, Abraham, that Isaac, that young man that you're bringing up, who will be a blessing to all the nations, I now want you to go and sacrifice him. Abraham believed what God was saying. Number one, that still Isaac would be a wonderful blessing to all the nations, and also that God wanted him to sacrifice him. That's where faith takes what appears to be contradictions from God and says, no, I listen instead to God. So this was a testing of Abraham's faith. And that's really important. In James chapter 1, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials or afflictions or temptations of various kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And the example I would give, Todd, that people can understand, when you have children, they get to an age, sometimes at two, at three, where they really want to become independent. They don't want you around. They want to do their own thing. But then sometimes they fall down and maybe cut their knee or something, and immediately, mommy, daddy, where are you? Help me. And that's how God works. He permits afflictions and temptations to come to us because it actually increases our trust in his promises, because that's the only place we can go to in order to find the comfort that we need.
So tell us this story of God giving Abraham and Sarah Isaac and then commanding Abraham to sacrifice him.
Part of the reason the book of Hebrews says that Abraham believed that even were he to sacrifice Isaac, that Isaac would still be a blessing to many nations, is because of when Isaac was born. If you look at chapter 21, it says that Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And of course, Sarah would have been 90, and they called him Isaac because that meant laughter. And here's what Sarah says, because at that point she had been childless. God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And she could have added, in her old age. And so, therefore, God had, as the book of Hebrews puts it, and it gives part of the reason why Abraham believed that Isaac would still be a blessing to many nations. It's in Hebrews 11, verses 17 and following. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Now, verse 19 is critical. He considered that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him originally, and that was from the dead womb of Sarah. The Bible says that God visited Sarah, which meant that he permitted her womb to bear a child even in her old age. So that was the faith of Abraham that resulted in him believing the promise of God and him being accounted righteous in God's sight, not because of his works, but because of his faith.
It's interesting here, Tom, that we are not told really anything that is going through Abraham's mind with respect to this. We're just told that the next day he gets up, makes everything ready, and sets off to do what God had told him to do.
Yes. The mind comes about in the Hebrews passage where it says he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. This is why the New Testament is so important, because there's a lot of questions that the Old Testament doesn't answer. One of my favorite ones is, how do we know that the serpent in the Garden of Eden who tempted Eve was actually Satan? We don't know that for sure until near the end of the book of Revelation, where it talks about that serpent, the devil himself, who tempted Eve. So a lot of times in the New Testament, we don't really understand what's going on in the Old Testament until it's fulfilled. I mean, all the disciples had read in Psalm 22 that the Messiah would be pierced in hands and feet. They had read in Isaiah 53 that he would be whipped, that our sins would be placed on him. And yet when Jesus died on the cross, it seemed like they had never read these passages or did not understand them. And that's why the Emmaus Road experience with the two disciples and Jesus himself on the night when he appeared to the disciples explained to them the meaning of those Old Testament passages, which were a fulfillment of both his crucifixion and his resurrection.
There's another interesting point here, and that is the place where God eventually shows him to go, the mountain upon which he is going to have him at least begin to make preparation to sacrifice Isaac. What do we know about that?
Well said. Well said. In fact, there's four points to keep in mind. It's called Mount Moriah. It's the place where, of course, he's about to sacrifice Isaac. It's also the place where King David will build an altar at God's command. It is also the site where the city of Jerusalem will be founded. And finally, 2 Chronicles 3:1, it's the place where Solomon builds the temple.
We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Abraham and Isaac in Genesis chapters 21 and 22. Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel, is our guest. When we come back, on top of those four significant things about where Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac, there's one more. We'll find out what it is after this.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
It is often misunderstood as sort of a to-do list for women.
Deaconess Elizabeth Allman, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman.
Or something that we have to strive to be, and it's very often pulled out of its moorings. It's pulled out of its context and not really put into the context of the rest of the book of Proverbs.
Learn more about demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman at issuesetc.org.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADC RUCEM.com.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Thank you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Abraham and Isaac in Genesis chapters 21 and 22. Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel, is our guest. Tom, before the break, you had pointed out four significant things about the place where God commands Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Any further insights on that place?
Well, of course, that's the place where Jesus is crucified. Mount Calvary is just outside of Jerusalem, and there's no doubt that what happened, there was no ram that came to take the place of Jesus. In fact, this shows how much love the Father has for us, that he was not willing to have Abraham go through the grief of seeing his son Isaac sacrificed, but he was willing to go through the grief and sorrow of seeing his own son sacrificed for the sins of the world. And it really does show, John 3:16, how much God so loved the world.
Tell us how the story comes out. It's told in a rather dramatic form, a suspenseful form, where we even have the picture of Abraham reaching out to take the knife to slay his son.
Yes, a lot of people don't realize that the sacrifice that would have occurred was to begin with the killing of the animal, or in this case, a person, with a knife, and then burning it. It was a burnt offering. And that's what's so amazing to me, that Abraham still thought that God would raise Isaac from the dead. But just as he is ready to do that, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven and tells him that I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And in verse 12 of that chapter, chapter 22, he says, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything for him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now, that's significant, because verse 11 begins that by, but the angel of the Lord called to him. And this is really a great Bible study to go through the Old Testament, because every time you see the phrase angel of the Lord, sometimes it's referring to the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, not an angel like Michael or Gabriel. And in this case, it has to be referring to part of the divinity, because he says, you have not withheld your son from me. What angel would ever say that? Because the angels aren't the ones that give the command. God does. And so it's at that point that Abraham sees a ram and does the offering of the ram instead of his son. And what's also interesting is what Abraham calls this place. He calls it the mountain, the Lord will provide. And in Chronicles, when Solomon is building the temple here, Abraham isn't even mentioned, even though that sacrifice took on this mountain. But instead, it's referred to as the Lord will provide. Now, that's not law. That's gospel, because it's an unconditional promise that God gives. That's how you can tell the difference between law and gospel. Law is a conditional promise. The gospel is unconditional. And so when we realize that Jesus Christ was sacrificed on the cross, that is how the Lord provided for you and me. And then in the waters of baptism, he grants us the benefits that Jesus won, both at the cross and at the empty tomb.
So this is not simply a foreshadowing. This is part of that continuing keeping of the promise that ends in Jesus Christ.
Yes. it's kind of like the whole purpose of the book of Ruth is to show that the line to Jesus did not stop, even though Naomi called herself bitter when her two sons died. Had Boaz not married Ruth, then the line to Jesus would have been extinguished. So also here, had Abraham put Isaac to death, he believed, even though it had been a burnt sacrifice, that Isaac would be raised from the dead in much the same way that he was conceived in a dead womb. It took 25 years from the time the Lord made the promise until Sarah gave birth. But Abraham has this in the back of his mind, I'm sure, when the Lord says to put his son to death. By the way, that's great faith, because I can't think of any other time up to this historic moment that anybody had been raised from the dead. And yet that's what Abraham believed. There are some people who think that the Old Testament doesn't talk about the resurrection from the dead, but here's a good example. Another good example is Job, when he says, I will see the Lord with my own eyes. Another good example is David, when he says, the son who died with that illicit affair between him and Bathsheba will not return to him, but I will go to him. So the resurrection from the dead is clearly a part of the faith that the Holy Spirit has given to the saints in the Old Testament.
And we should really point out that this isn't just an abstract belief in the resurrection. For Abraham, this would have meant not just the hope of having his son back to him, but the hope of that very promise that God had kept through his son being kept for the rest of the nations. He was hoping and trusting in a resurrection that was absolutely necessary for the salvation of the world.
That's correct, because the original promise is that the folks coming after Abraham were like the stars in heaven, counted as the stars in heaven and the pieces of sand on the beach. And that's what Abraham was really looking toward in the promise. And therefore, there was only one person that could fulfill that, and that was Isaac, because God had made very clear that Ishmael, his son with Hagar, was not the one. It had to be a son of Sarah. And who could have thought that had Isaac been extinguished, died, not come back to life, that Sarah would have another child? No, because God had made it clear the name of that child and had put his promise on Isaac in the same way that God the Father has put his promise on Jesus, that whoever believes that his death was for us as he became our substitute in taking care of the payment of our sins, we too then can have the same joy that Abraham had when Isaac was not sacrificed.
So the promise that had been attached to Isaac, so to speak, was a great one. Abraham believed it. The promise that has, and the many promises that have been attached to Abraham's descendant, to Jesus Christ, are even more certain because Christ has in fact been sacrificed and raised from the dead. It has actually happened that way. Talk about that.
Yes. Going to chapter 12, the Lord says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham understood that that was going to come through the seed of Isaac, and that's why the resurrection is such a blessed event, because it is the fulfillment of how God has brought together all the nations, Jew and Gentile, to have the forgiveness of sins been told to them, and also that heaven is their home, and that even in times of affliction, it's not God at war with you, but it is a way in which God increases your faith, your trust in his promises, so that even in this sin-ridden, devil-filled world, we can have the grace of God coming to us each and every day.
So finally, Tom, the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children this week.
Yes, the simple law is God requires a payment for sin. There's just no doubt about it throughout the ceremonial laws, etc. But we can't give that payment. In Hebrews, it says very clearly that all the ceremonial sacrifices did not pay for sins. But one did pay for a sin. Another payment for sin was his son, Jesus Christ, who was sacrificed, and he was the one who fulfilled the payment necessity for my sin, and that's why we trust in him as our Savior.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you.
When we come back, it's time to talk with Joy Pullman of The Federalist. She has found what she calls anti-conservative bias in U.S. history texts and written about it in The Federalist, a piece titled New AP U.S. History Textbook Implies Christians Are Bigots, Reagan a Racist. We'll see what she's talking about after this.
What does Easter have to do with mission work? Find out in the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine, as you learn to see Christian missions through the lens of Easter and see Easter anew through the eyes of LCMS missionaries around the world. Celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection together with all the saints throughout time and to the very ends of the earth. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue and our website is RedeemerChico.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all six Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc. What does this mean? On our comment line, 618-223-8382. If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382, and answer the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen.
Real Reformation Radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Oh, Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.